Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. This is Carolina Barlow.
And this is Devin Leary.
And folks, when I say that we do not look good today, we both went on the Zoom. And
I have a rat tail.
Devin and I just look like someone woke us up in the middle of the night and said there was a fire. Devin's cloaked in a blanket and we're both wearing red. So it really was like looking in the mirror because we both had a similar updo and sleepy face.
We're festive slobs. How about that?
Today is our episode 3 of the True Crime series. I believe it's our last episode of said series. Am I wrong?
You're wrong.
Okay. And we are going to start with our highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow series. Devin, do you want to give me a lowbrow?
Yeah, I will say highbrow, midbrow, lowbrow is a segment, not a series. And the true crime romance series is ongoing. But I just hope that some people out there listening have some compassion, and I hope that this will show someone on LinkedIn might endorse me for being able to work with difficult people. How about that? Because clearly I'm able to do it.
To think I came on this podcast so proud of all the research I did, and Devin just shot me in the neck.
You just jump to conclusions that I don't know where you find them sometimes.
That's fair.
Okay, so I have actually just decided. I went through some lowbrow options. I struggled not to choose season 7 of Survivor that I just binged because it was a season that regained my hope in humanity because the right woman won. Johnny Fairplay represents the patriarchy and he tried to beat out the good people, but in the end it was Lil and Sandra and they deserved it and Sandra won and she deserved it. Okay, but that's not my choice. My choice, I've just decided, is Pillsbury ready-to-bake items. That's my lowbrow choice. This year at Thanksgiving, wanted to impress the group, had limited time to go grocery shopping. What did I do? Bought some Pillsbury pull-apart biscuits. Crowd pleaser. Everybody loved it. I did a little pomegranate glaze on there, which, yes, that sounds impressive. What was in the pomegranate glaze, you ask? Well, it was just pomegranate juice, powdered sugar, and that's it. So I will say that it's an easy way to impress people. The Pillsbury ready-to-bake snowman cookies. I just purchased those. Can't wait to make them. Comes with 20 pre-cut cookies. I could do a little double of that if it was my ideal situation, because I do want to bring this box home to my family, and I am scared that I will have to share it with them. But I just think that I don't know anything about Pillsbury as a people. I don't know where they come from. I don't know what the succession story of Pillsbury is or who their Kendall is, who their Connor is. But for now, I will choose ignorance as bliss. And I will say that I stand with the Pillsbury Corporation for making things easy and making me look good and making cute little snowman cookies.
So when you said you Pillsbury, you don't know about the Pillsbury people, I thought you meant people like the community of small white blobs that are wearing a chef's hat, which is the Pillsbury logo.
I stand with them too.
Like Smurfs, there is a community of them, which reminded me of, I had a cousin in Kentucky when I was little who would do an imitation of the Pillsbury boy. He was like 7 and he knew it would always make us laugh. And he was just one of those kids who was always on. And I remember one time his mom bent over to get something from the closet. He played her ass like the drums and it made me laugh so hard.
Beat that ass like a drum. Have you seen that TikTok?
It more
drum?
Like a bongo, but it really made me smile. So Milo Brow, I wanted to say season 10 of Roni, specifically Carol Radswell and Bethany Frankel's fight, because I do think it's one of the more complicated fights in Real Housewives New York. At least I can't speak for the franchise. I know that Devin can.
That was right around the time that the country divided when that fight started, because that was around the time of Trump. It was around the time of when we realized Republicans weren't just a political party. That was when Carol and Bethany started fighting.
Yeah. And it's very strange. You can't tell what's going on. You know that Bethany isn't being clear about certain things. But Carol is dating a weird guy who, as Bethany puts it, is an operator. And I agree with her. And they're both saying mean things about each other. And I think that Carol is a little pretentious. And I do think that Bethany, even though she says some things that I completely disagree with, she is very personable. I think that's one of the keys to her success. And it hurt to see them scream at each other during the reunion. It hurt. At some points, I was sad. And when Carol looks at Andy, and because Andy says, you guys both kind of dragged each other. And she says, you're so full of shit, Andy. Are you scared of her, too?
Did you watch seasons like 1 through 3 with the Jill versus Bethany fight?
I did. And that was very fascinating. Obviously, I read what the behind the scenes was, which was that Jill was telling people not to record with Bethany. She was jealous of Bethany's success. She was jealous that Bethany hosted the Today Show and wanted it to be her. And that was also sad because Jill and Bethany had been so close.
So I was like heartbroken by that feud because I loved them as a friend duo, but I was not heartbroken by Carol and Bethany. To me, it felt very clear cut. And then I actually was most saddened by finding out people in my life were Team Carol. And it felt like, wait, I thought I knew you. Like, is everything okay?
That's fair. But this is all to say my real lowbrow will be Skims tights. I'm a Spanx girl. I've been a Spanx girl for 10 years. I love a nice feeling of being wrapped in duct tape. And I've cut Spanx. I've made them shorts. It's just been a big part of my life as I'm always in a dress. I recently see Chloe Hartstein, a stylist friend of mine, not to brag, in New York. And at one point, while I was talking to her, I pulled up my Spanx and said, sorry, I need to pull up my Spanx. And she said, you still wear Spanx? Skims, babe. And I thought, an excuse to shop for something stupid online? I'll take it. And I bought 2 pairs of Skims and I put them on the other night for the first time. They have a design that's super smart where it's tight around your abdomen, but you don't have any tightness in your ass. So it doesn't flatten your butt. It lets your butt free.
I have trouble accepting this endorsement.
So tell me why.
So I don't know if you saw in Gawker, I think this was a week ago, there was an article released covering Kim Kardashian's interview in Barry Weiss's newsletter.
So why she did that interview, I do not know.
So did you read what she said in the interview?
Only that Barry Weiss said, who's your favorite guy on SNL? Which, Kim, if you're out there, we would never ask such a stupid question. And Kim goes, come on, Barry, you know.
Okay, that is actually like the ice cream icing on top. I think the phrase is icing on top. I started to say ice cream on top. I didn't
Barry
sleep well.
Very Carolina of you.
And I ate a lot of ice cream last night. So that was actually the icing on top of this hellish interview that I texted with 2 friends of the pod, Tess Sitzman and Haley Carter, and we both said, that's it, I'm done. I'm done with Kim. Because, you know, it's hard. We go back and forth. We say, okay, she is an advocate for the release of prisoners, but she's also a billionaire. She doesn't give away that much of her money.
That's
true.
She's
been aligned with Trump in the past and all this stuff.
True.
So it's like,
she did post
tough.
A picture of her and Ivanka. That's
it's
true.
So in this Barry Weiss interview, which first of all, why? But second of all, she already is losing me because when asked about Taylor Swift, she says, I really like a lot of her songs. They're all super cute and catchy. I'd have to look in my phone to get a name. As if you don't know one fucking name.
Wow.
Like, you don't know Blank Space? Really, Kim? You don't know Blank Space? Okay. Then, when asked about being a feminist or a Democrat.
Uh-oh.
Kardashian says she doesn't like labels. Weiss, are you a feminist? Kardashian, I really don't like titles.
I
don't really like titles. I believe in fighting for women 100%, but I also believe in fighting for what's right. Weiss, speaking of titles, are you a Democrat? Kardashian, I believe in the rights that the Democrats want, but I believe in the taxes that the Republicans want. I'm
of
a mix
course.
Of both. Okay, hell on earth. Hell on earth.
I'm shaking my head, listener.
Weiss, will you ever run for public office? Kardashian, as of right now, no. As of right now, bitch.
Please.
As of right
us.
Now. So I just want to say, like, finding out that any celebrity who has any amount of wealth is a Republican for tax reasons is just finding out that they're a bad person, because it's like,
it's
really?
True.
So you would put your fucking Lamborghini above public education, above kids who can't afford Wi-Fi so they can't go to school. Like, that's the choice you're making. Above the rights of women to control their own bodies when you have enough money to completely morph and mutate your body into a weird replica of cultural appropriation. Like, really? That's your choice? So you're a genuinely selfish bad person at the end of the day. Like, you are a narcissist and you don't care about people. And I think that's really sad because she has children and I don't think she's a truly compassionate person. And I feel bad for any children who have a mom that's not truly compassionate. And I will say that if you are out there listening to this and your mom is still a Republican and hasn't changed their views, they have a compassion problem and that's probably affected you and you probably need therapy.
Okay, but I do want to say they also have an information problem. And this is something that I'm very frustrated with, is that bad information is free. Facebook posts are free. There's paywalls for the Washington Post. There's paywalls for the New York Times. You only get so much information from reliable sources. Not saying the New York Times is perfect. Never said that. But I'm saying that bad information can make you believe that you are in the right. So
Kim is not a victim of that.
Kim is not a victim of that. She can afford the $1 a
week. She's a perpetrator of that. She's a perpetrator of that.
That's true. That's true. I agree with you. And as much as I love that she is releasing prisoners, she did so under the Trump presidency as well. And I would never give him credit for any kind of human rights, because I think he is a manifestation of the darkness that we have here on Earth.
Also, it's like, to me, I struggle with this because I have done a lot of research and a fair amount of work to try to understand QAnon and understand how it has happened. I've listened to a lot of podcasts. I've watched a lot of documentaries. I've read a lot of articles.
Devin was really excited for JFK to come back.
But he didn't show up. He didn't show up.
She was waving her American
flag. He ghosted.
He was like, another guy who
another
fucking ghosted
me. Another
man
that we can't rely on. No, I'm just saying, like, if you believe some of this stuff that people have been brainwashed to believe, I'm like, okay, I guess I can sort of see how you've been totally brainwashed and manipulated. But if you really believe some of the really racist stuff about, like, Obama and all that, that QAnon perpetrates, you had that in you. You know, like, you had that in you waiting. You had that racism in you. You had that religious prejudice in you. You had some of those feelings already, and they were just validated by this group. So if you believe in QAnon, you had that in you. If you voted for Trump, you simply do not care about people enough. You don't care about human beings enough. So I don't know. I understand the information argument, but I also feel like I think the people
I agree.
Believe that stuff were like kind of primed for it anyway, and that's like a personal flaw. And now that I'm on the topic, I will say, like, I am getting pretty frustrated with people preaching about how it's not a pandemic of personal choices, and it's like it's also a policy problem, and it's also this, and it's all like, okay, but personal choices are causing a lot of deaths right now.
They're also not personal because they are affecting other people. It's yes. not personal when you're putting children at risk. The obsession I have with a yoga teacher on Instagram who posts about how you shouldn't get vaccinated and you shouldn't wear masks, the obsession I have with her is unhealthy. I have to stop looking at her posts, but I simply want to sit her down and say, your arrogance, your belief that 300 hours of yoga training makes you more qualified than doctors who have spent decades researching, it makes me insane, and it's going to kill people, and it could kill you or someone you love. So that makes me very frustrated. She also posted, because I obviously went back in to March of 2020, and she posted a breathing exercise to help you not get COVID, and said that we should not isolate. So that's the kind of personality that I just can't get over. And I think we're talking about the same thing with wealth. We're talking about greed. We're talking about like me, like I need to take care of me. And that goes before everyone else. And that's also it goes behind my obsession with Jeff Bezos. Jeff Bezos could be the richest person on the planet, and nothing would change his way of living if he paid for health insurance for every one of his employees. It would be a drop in the bucket. It would be a parking ticket for him. And still he fights Amazon workers who are trying to unionize. So my lowbrow is Skims.
So this is all to say our lowbrow is Skims, and we can't be Team Carrie. We're just not Team Carrie because she's a billionaire.
Team Carrie?
Carrie Bradshaw. She's a billionaire.
Oh,
we
right.
can't stand
okay.
behind her. Carrie right. Bradshaw could single-handedly end homelessness in New York City, and she chooses not to.
Instead, she chooses to have a shower that takes up a studio apartment.
Yeah, bitch.
I want you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Like many of us, you might think identity theft will never happen to you. But consider this. There's a new identity theft victim every 3 seconds in the U.S. That's over 15 million people by the end of this year, equal to the populations of New York, Los Angeles, and Chicago combined. Even worse, identity theft victims often don't even know they're victims. That's why LifeLock Identity Theft Protection alerts you to identity threats, even the ones that don't show up on a credit report, like data breaches, fraudulent bank transactions, loan and credit card applications, and crimes committed in your name. If your identity is stolen, your own dedicated LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will work to fix it. LifeLock protects you in ways that you simply can't on your own. Join now and save up to 25% your first year at LifeLock.com/iHeart. That's LifeLock.com/iHeart to save up to 25%. Identity theft protection starts here.
What is your midbrow, Devin?
My midbrow is... I don't know if all my OCD ladies in the back can hear me, but one result of the onslaught of the COVID-19 pandemic back in 2019, 2020 was that I developed a new OCD habit, which is washing my hands incessantly. And it's a mental block that I can't not wash them. Like, even if I know that I didn't really touch anything. And even though I know that the virus is much less likely to travel through surfaces, I still have this like obsession to wash my hands like Derek from Grey's Anatomy before a brain surgery.
She does walk into my home with her arms up in the air like she broke them and immediately goes to my kitchen sink before touching my dogs who are begging for her love.
And I have to wear a ferry boat surgeon's cap because that's part of it. No, I'm kidding. So my hands are extremely dry. Permanent damage has been done. My hands will be wrinkled. I've accepted that my hands will be like Kyle Richards' hands, as we've seen captured, are very old compared to the rest of her face and body. And that will be my hands. Like, they're just very wrinkled and dry already. Now it's to the point, because it's winter, that they're like cracking, bleeding. It's like they're just really dry. And I tried everything. I tried putting Aquaphor at night, Lubriderm, all these lotions. I tried a little product called Fenty Skin Hydra Reset Intensive Recovery Glycerin Hand Mask. It's $22. I got it on Black Friday on sale. And it's a beautiful, first of all, beautiful package. The package is blue and purple, like hues of blue and purple with clouds. It's a matte finish. Just the package alone feels like luxury. I put this on at night. I was uncertain because it was like weird feeling and a little sticky feeling when I put it on at night. I woke up, my hands felt smooth for the first time in 2 years. And the one thing I will say is that it's a kind of goopy mask. It's a mask for the hands. And to wear it overnight, it's hard because, you know, I obviously flail around in the bed and I wake up with like
because all you're these night terrors.
I have night terrors about ferry boats crashing and Meredith falling into the water. So I flail my hands around. I wake up with stains all over my bed, not from anything other than hand mask. So as a result, I purchased these gloves that are really cheap on Amazon. So I put this Fenty Skin, let me restate the title, Fenty Skin Hydra Reset Intense Recovery Glycerin Hand Mask. I put a layer of that on. I put my moisturizing gloves on. It's really making a difference. Although today I'm looking down at my really crackly knuckles because I forgot it at home. But that's my midbrow, Carol. What's yours?
That's a great midbrow. So my midbrow is Iron, the supplement.
Not the man. Not Stark.
Not Iron Man. I have always been tired. Devin can attest to this. I love napping. I love falling asleep. Devin and I, when we are working on projects together, sometimes, what can I tell you? I have to find somewhere to lie down. And that's just been the case. I have a family that loves to nap. We all need a midday break. And then I got my blood work done. And they said, you're Spider-Man. No, they said, you have anemia. You're anemic. And I said, what's that? And they said, you need iron. You're probably really tired all the time. And so I'm taking iron slow FE. And that means it releases slowly throughout the day. Listen, I can't speak to the results yet. Full disclosure, I did start taking it for the first time yesterday. But I will say that if you are tired all the time, this might be a solution. And it's not normal to be tired all the time. So I'm trying to appreciate that. It doesn't have to be my lifestyle anymore that I need to be lying down when I'm doing anything. But yes, looking into supplements, not taking everything willy-nilly that advertises itself, because I took Moon Juice supplements they're called Super You. They were $50 and I felt super nothing.
You would buy into that trend.
I really did. So that's my midbrow, getting your blood work done and fighting anemia.
Okay. My highbrow recommendation for this week, I'm going to do a tie because I posted on one of these already on my Instagram. So I feel like it's a cop out to like give the same recommendation, but it's a tie for me between two podcasts. One is Harsh Reality, the story of Miriam Rivera. I don't want to give anything away, but it's a podcast about a very disturbing and misguided attempt at a reality dating show in the early 2000s that really epitomized a lot of homophobic, transphobic, and dangerously violent attitudes that were mainstream in the early 2000s and are still fighting to be mainstream today. And it's just like a really brilliant and meaningful commentary on entertainment, reality TV, and transphobia and the experience of being a trans person. A lot of it takes place in the UK, but it's also about being a trans person in America. And it's hosted by Trace Lissette. And she is an actress who was in my favorite movie, Hustlers. She was also in Transparent. Her Love voice her. Is incredibly soothing. It's also written by someone named Agnes Berinsky. And it's truly so beautifully written because it's really informative. Like, it's so well researched and it really explains the cultural backdrop to the events in the podcast in a way that's like truly enthralling. Like, I actually paid for a Wondery subscription so that I could get the episodes early because I'm just so captivated by the story. So that is my highbrow. And then since I already post about that one, I will also give another podcast recommendation. This was actually recommended to me by a friend of the pod, Tess Sitzman. It's called Spectacle, an Unscripted History of Reality TV. It's hosted by Mariah Smith, who some may know as the culture writer who used to write, or maybe still does, the Keeping Up with the Continuity Error series, which was a column commenting on episodes of Keeping Up with the Kardashians. So Mariah Smith is, I've already been a huge fan, but Spectacle is a podcast about the history of reality TV, and there's different episodes about different shows. There's one about Survivor, there's one about 90 Day Fiancé, and that is another podcast that I've been really enjoying. So those are my two Hebrews, as in highbrows.
My highbrow is a shop in Detroit called Signal Return. It is a print shop where you can buy affordable art. It ranges, but you can get really cool prints at a good price. Posters, local artists sell their stuff there. You can get greeting cards. I got tea towels from there. It's just very entertaining and very fun to look at, and you can buy their stuff online. Full disclosure, my dad was one of the founding members, but it truly is one of my favorite shops. I have a bunch of pieces from them. I'm looking at two of them now on my wall. I just think they're so beautiful and so special, and it's nice to have something individual and personal, which I think all of their artwork is. And I recommend everyone check out their online shop.
Okay.
And no one asked me to say this. This is not an ad. I truly think it's the coolest place ever.
Well,
and you have some of their art.
I do have some of their art. I have two dog-centric prints from Signal Return, and I deeply love them and value them, and I can't recommend them enough. So with that, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Carolina's attempt at a true crime romance.
Oh, it's going to be story. A slam dunk. Please stay tuned.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Stadtsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
You deserve a moment to yourself every single day. And a delicious bite of a Keebler Sandies can give you that comforting pause. Don't forget to pack the melt-in-your-mouth magic of a Keebler Sandies for a post-errands pick-me-up. This magic is baked into simple shortbread cookies by Ernie and the Keebler Elves. So as life continues to fly by, make the most of your me moment. Take a pause and enjoy a Keebler Sandies.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
And we're back with True Romance. Today, yes, someone who I've been burnt down like Notre Dame by Devin Leary and torn down like Barney's New York. And it's been hard to, you know, maintain self-esteem, maintain dignity in this relationship on the pod. I say things wrong. I mispronounce things. I say escalade instead of escalade. You know, there's tics I have. I'm never charging my computer. I earlier in this episode, I misquoted Home Alone. So
she said, Merry Christmas, you dirty animals.
And it's filthy animals. And why was I quoting Home Alone in general? There's nothing funny or current about that.
Yes, there is. Home Alone's a classic. Well,
it's Christmas time.
Now she's taking down the Home Alone franchise, people. Pay attention.
I've got to pick my battles.
This is a slow burn towards tyranny. Caroline is slowly taking down Christmas.
So in our true crime series, we are picking cases to tell each other about. I have picked a case that I'm hopeful that Devin does not know about because, you know, this is really Devin's life focus. And I am just an interloper. And so I really hope that this is something that Devin hasn't heard before. And I just want to say that I did do my research. So let me tell you about a couple. Tony Henthorne is the wife. Harold Henthorne is the husband. They met online in 1999 when people were just beginning to meet online, and they got married 9 months later. Okay, folks.
What city and state?
This was in Mississippi.
Okay.
So they met online in 1999, get married 9 months later. She's an eye surgeon, very impressive, but she had been unlucky in love. She had a previous marriage that didn't go well, but she was successful, obviously, eye surgeon. I don't even know how we see. I don't even know what the eye is made out of.
This is already the lead up to a perfect romantic comedy called Looking for Love.
Thank you. She's from a very rich family. Her father's an oil man. And Harold Henthorne, her new husband, is a self-described, quote unquote, wealthy fundraiser. He says he fundraises for charity. So all I'll say is vague. So Bob and Yvonne, Tony's parents, they did not trust her new husband, Harold. He was controlling. He moved her away from her family in Mississippi to Colorado, which made it hard for Bob and Yvonne, Tony's elderly parents, to visit. And all of her friends were in Mississippi. So he basically takes her out of her community. And he says that he's so rich that his wife, Tony, is never going to have to work again. But Tony's parents, Bob and Yvonne, are the ones who give them $500,000 to put a down payment on their house, to buy cars, anything else they may need. So Harold and Tony are in Colorado, and Harold is not letting Tony travel back to Mississippi to visit her family and friends. Not only that, but he starts being on every phone call between Tony and her parents. So when Tony's parents would call her, Harold would pick up, put it on speaker, and mostly talk the whole time. And he was super cheery. He would brag, and he just loved to be the center of attention, and they could hear Tony basically faintly in the background. So Tony and Harold eventually have a daughter together, and Tony's parents think, okay, this may be helpful. This may turn their relationship around, but Harold only gets worse. He's obsessed with his daughter. He won't let Tony put her to bed, plans his daughter's every move, play dates, etc., and even has cameras monitoring his daughter's room. Not ideal. So if this isn't enough red flags for you, Harold always brags about how rich he is, like I said. But when Tony looks at their finances, they just don't reflect that. Their accounts aren't that full. But when she says that to her parents, she doesn't want them to bring it up to him because she doesn't want to, quote unquote, suffer the consequences. And she doesn't at least to our knowledge, mean physical abuse. She means having to listen to him talk forever. Whenever she asks for anything to be done, she, like, can we fix the stove? He talks and lectures her for an hour. But when he wants a new car, he gets it. So suffering the consequences literally means listening to him speak, which is understandable. So Bob and Bob and Yvonne, they do what they can. The few times they see their daughter alone in person, they express concern. And sometimes they think, okay, maybe it's going to be okay. Until Toni lands herself in the hospital. How does this happen? She and Harold have a cabin they own in the mountains near Denver. One night, Harold asks Toni to help him clear the debris around the cabin. Red flag, never do an errand with an asshole. If an asshole asks you to help with anything, say, I can't do that right now. In no way do I want to.
Wait, what was it? Clear rubble around the yard?
Clear the debris. Like, what does that even mean? That's what my response would be. What are you talking about?
Yeah, I feel like, what does that even look like? Is this like, no offense, is this ground zero? Like,
yeah, exactly. No offense. So Toni goes outside because Harold gets whatever he wants. And while cleaning the debris, she feels something hard hit her neck and she's knocked to the ground. She's losing sensation on her hands. She ends up in the hospital. And what Harold says is that a piece of lumber fell and hit her on the back. Looks to camera. So Yvonne, Toni's mom.
Cue Jim Krasinski eyes at that.
Yeah. Yvonne, Toni's mom, doesn't even find out right away. When Toni tells her, like, I'm in the hospital, Yvonne's like, why didn't anyone reach out to me? And Toni's like, Harold didn't reach out to you? And Harold, when he's asked about it, says, like, oh my God, Mrs. B, that's what he calls her. It was totally fine. But Yvonne tells her daughter, this wasn't an accident and I would never be alone with this man.
Dating advice tip number 779. If he immediately acts casual enough to call your mom Mrs. B right after trying to kill you, maybe that's a red flag.
He should be nicer to your mom if he has just unsuccessfully tried to kill you. He should be at least a little formal.
When someone is immediately too casual, like when I used to go on like online dates and someone would immediately call me Dev instead of Devin, like, too comfortable. You're too comfortable.
So months later, not a year later, months later, the weekend of their 12th wedding anniversary, Toni and Harold go on a hike in the Rocky Mountain National Park and Toni falls off a cliff. And of course, without a doubt, the family is like, she was pushed.
Yeah.
It's so clear. And the details are totally off. Harold has so many different stories on how she fell. One is that he couldn't find her. One is that she was taking a picture of him. And then this is the most egregious to me in certain ways, even though killing her is pretty bad. But he texts her brother saying, like, she's gone.
What?
On the absolute pile of obvious indications this was a murder, Harold has her funeral planned within 2 days. Within 48 hours, he has songs picked out and he has her cremated.
What were the songs?
Someone Like You by Adele. Just kidding.
Falling by Alicia Keys. Just kidding. That was
he
too
was
much.
Like Bruno
too
Mars soon. Performed.
So funk you up.
We
Uptown
find
funk
out
you up.
We find out later that he had taken out so much life insurance on her that he was set to be awarded $4.7 million. Listen, life insurance is a red flag. Red flag. Red flag.
And Leary moment.
No. I really thought of Ann Leary reading this. I was like, this is why Ann Leary says do not have life insurance out. Like, I don't want to be vulnerable. So not only that, but Harold's sister-in-law by marriage, who he gets very close to, almost like a father figure to, she finds out that he has $500,000 of life insurance on her.
Wait, on, like, the sister?
Yeah, on the sister-in-law.
Wow.
Like, how, what do I like, if I found out some random person in my life had life insurance out on me, because she eventually asks him to please don't, and he still doesn't cancel it.
Please don't have life insurance out on me. Carol, just don't look deeper into the insurance policies that I myself have purchased. Because you don't want to know.
So, I want to take us in a time machine. Right now, we are in, 2012. Oh,
good year.
I'm so sorry. We are in 2011, 2012. So I want to take us back a long time ago to 1995. Now, when Harold and Tony were married, the thing everyone said, Harold's last wife died in a car accident. No one asked for details. Why would you ask for details on someone's car accident? Just kidding. People ask me about it all the time. But, you know, if someone says my wife died in a car accident, you're not going to say, oh, my God, what happened? And maybe people did. But as we know from Harold, he likes to give different stories. So with the case of his wife who died, a detective in Colorado looks at the case now 18 years ago in 1995. So Harold was married to his wife, Lynn, and she died ostensibly while fixing a flat tire on the side of the road. The car, a Jeep Cherokee, actually fell on her, which I can relate to with my accident, and I promise you it's not a good feeling. So the detective in Colorado finds all these conflicting statements that Harold gave that night to the detective on the scene. To one cop, he says they were leaving dinner. To another cop, he says they just had dinner. To one cop, he says they were traveling east. One cop, they were traveling west. One cop, they left their house at 1. One cop, they left their house at 7. One, he said he tried to rescue her. Another, he said he was rescued by strangers. And he gave different explanations for how the car fell on her. At one point, he says she was hit by a car. Another time, he says the EMTs messed up and killed her. And if you've ever met EMTs, that's just not possible. They're so well-trained. And I actually had a really hot one. So obviously the investigation was botched, and the detective investigating the case, not the one 18 years later, the one on the scene that night in 1995, had never done a homicide case before, was a detective for only 5 months and never received training, okay? Ann Leary is a better detective. Devin Leary is a better detective. And this is amazing to me considering how much of our tax money goes to cops. And that's an episode for another day. But let's just say that teachers have to beg for money online. So if I was murdered by a white husband, he could literally say he was abducted by aliens and they would accept that as an alibi. Let's go back to Harold's first wife, Lynn. So much like Tony, Harold had taken out $1 million life insurance policy on Lynn. And it had been lower before, but he increased it months before her death. There was also, looking back on the case, the new detective found a footprint that was found on the flat tire she was changing, implying that perhaps someone kicked the tire so the car would land on her while she was changing the tire.
I'm having trouble a little bit understanding how that happened, but I don't know that I need to understand it.
Well, he gave a lot of conflicting ideas on what happened, but basically when you have a flat tire, you have a jack, right?
I don't know.
So that might be where the confusion lies.
Okay.
So nevertheless, given all of the conflicting narratives that Harold is providing, after six days of investigating, quote unquote, Lynn's death is ruled an accident. And the detective in Cleveland, 18 years later, finds out there were witnesses that night, one of whom called the day after the accident saying, did you arrest the husband yet? But wow. None of them, listen, folks, none of them were questioned. So one of them, for instance, a woman who pulled over to help him, said that he didn't try to do CPR. And when the woman asked for his coat to put on his dying wife to make sure she was warm, he would not give it to her. And she ended up giving her own coat and just leaving it there. The fire chief who came to the scene, give all the detective salary to the fire department, please. We don't deserve them. The fire chief who comes to the scene says, she explains that when a family member is there and anyone in a family or a partner has died, people are always so emotional. She says even sometimes she's been punched in the face by like an outburst of emotion. And she said that Harold was completely calm. And she said it was the creepiest thing she'd ever seen.
So what was the point of him not even, like, that's like the type of pure evil that makes me sick is he couldn't even put up a facade of caring enough to be like, yeah, obviously you can have my jacket while you fade into the cold grasp of death. Like,
he's a sociopath.
He's a psychopath. And there's a difference between psychopath and sociopath. And he's the worst kind. And also, I almost punched my dermatologist in the face when she was giving me chin filler, which I relate to.
So you know what it's like to be emotional in a crisis.
I do.
I I was upsetting because it reminded me, I was rewatching Mindhunter the other day, and they were talking about how they could get a murder suspect to come back into the interrogation room because they knew he would be arrogant enough to think that he would fool them again.
Right.
And the arrogance is really what comes through with Harold, as well as him being stupid. He couldn't even care enough to have a story that was lined up. He was just like shelling out lies. He seemed very confident that he was not going to be caught. You know, I have practiced more on getting out of class in college than he seems to have in the murders of not one, but two of his wives. So he's eventually arrested for Tony's death, the wife that he pushed off a cliff. And his trial is bananas. So much comes out. Obviously, his life insurance policies. Also, the fact that Tony's wedding band was missing. It was like $30,000 wedding band. And he takes that off of her after she falls off the cliff. Like, he is just a greedy, disgusting, I mean, psychopath, like you said. And also, her lipstick was still on, which went against Harold's claim that he gave CPR to her.
Wow, that's a really good detail.
Lastly,
unless it was Halsey's new beauty line that I
so that could be it too
recently bought, because that makeup is so hard. It's called About Face Beauty. It's so hard to get off. I went to a Christmas party. I had green eyeliner all over my face for about a week. So go on.
Okay, so it could have been that, and I hope that, you know, that was brought up in court and Halsey had to testify. Lastly, using the cell phone tower evidence, which is that accurate, Devin? The cell phone towers using that as evidence?
What kind of evidence? Like,
you can tell where someone's phone was.
Yeah, that is accurate.
So using cell phone tower evidence, the investigators could see that Harold had scouted the trail location where she fell. Not once, not twice, but 9 times.
Wow. That's so awful.
So in his defense, Harold's defense attorney describes him as a quirky guy.
Oh, okay. You know what? That's fine then. You know what? Like, that's just him being him. What?
I'm not like other guys.
He's just Harold. He's just like a Joseph Gordon-Levitt, like JGL style. Like, wears glasses, even though he doesn't need them.
He's not like the football quarterback, okay? He's interesting. He's going to kill you.
Yeah.
So, even though that is a very strong defense, he is eventually sentenced to life in prison.
Is he still quirky in prison?
That's a good question.
Is he able to express his quirkiness in that jumpsuit?
It's hard to probably express your fashion statements if you do not have a Hot Topic nearby.
Yeah. He can't wear his graphic tees that he sounds like he'd be the type of guy to get into.
I mean, I am just horrified by the idea of like being trapped in a marriage.
Right.
Where someone, it's weird, like the stories of him where this woman couldn't ask for anything. She wasn't near her family and friends. And the fact that shrinks you. Tony's parents kept on being like, but she was such a good student. She was so effervescent. Like, she was so bright. And all of a sudden, she was just disappearing before our eyes.
Yeah. And it's like, it's so hard to think about, because with all of these cases that we've discussed, there's those moments that everyone can relate to. I think that's what's like so enthralling to me and terrifying to me about true crime, is like those moments where you can think, oh, I could have been in that position. And it's like, we've all had a friend or family member who's in a relationship who were like, ooh, I don't know about that. Like, what, like, why is he making her move? Why is this happening? And sometimes that can lead to the unthinkable, but we all know that no one can get out of a relationship until they're ready. No one can intervene enough. No one can say the right thing to get someone else out of a relationship. So,
well, that's another part that I found interesting, is when her mom says, you cannot be alone with this man. Yeah. And I thought about like all the times your parents give you warnings about stuff that turns out to be accurate, but you're like, oh, like, I know you're being dramatic. Like, no, I'm fine. Thank you so much.
Mom, I'm gonna wear the short shorts and I don't care what you say, okay?
I don't have to shower before my job interview at Anthropology. Thank you very much.
Door slam. door slam, stair stomp, door slam.
But she literally was in the hospital after like a log falls on her mysteriously and is like, no, I'm going to go hiking in a few months with him.
I'm just outdoorsy. Like, that's what happens.
I mean, I hope to underscore, I'm not calling her stupid. I'm saying that.
Wow, Carol.
I'm not. I'm saying that relationships like that with an emotional and mental abuser, we second guess ourselves so much, we ended up trusting them more, even in situations where we should not. Yes. And we trust them more than, say, our mother, who has guided us our entire lives.
And told us
not
to wear short shorts. Yeah.
And told us not to wear short shorts.
Well, I appreciate this warning sign. I appreciate this going into the new year, especially.
My New Year's resolution.
Week after Christmas, going into New Year's with this warning sign of a crime story. So thanks for enlightening us, Carol.
Yes, it is the story of the Black Widower. That's what he was called.
Oh, that's a good moniker.
Yeah, and he loves the song Black Widow by
Black Widow. Black Widow, baby. And he loves the movie Black Widow starring Scarlett.
I love you till it hurts.
Wait, is it Black Widow starring Scarlett Johansson? Is that a thing?
Oh, I do think you're right.
Well, ScarJo at fault again. She did it again, folks. Menace to society.
Don't let a guy move you away from your girlfriends. This is really a story about the power of friendship.
But that being said, if opportunity comes a knocking and Channing Tatum says that he just bought a place in Minnesota, are any of us really going to say no? We don't know.
I would be so confused. I'd be like, what are you doing here?
Do you think I look like Channing Tatum Minnesota? With my chin filler?
No, I do not.
Okay. All right. Well, tune in next week and we'll give an update on whether or not we look like or are dating Channing Tatum.
Yeah, stay tuned on the edge of your seats, folks. I love you, Devin.
Love you. Bye.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. True. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Are you still searching for your perfect place to call home? Well, now is the time to buy at Fisher Homes. If you're looking to move in before the end of 2024, May could be your last opportunity to start building your dream home and close before the year's end. If you're hoping to move in even sooner, Fisher Homes also has homes that are move-in ready and waiting for you, where you can start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with a new home advisor today at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home.
Right here, right now. Find your beautiful new floor at Right Rug Flooring. Choose from thousands of in-stock styles, ready for next day installation, and all backed by the right price guarantee. Visit rightrug.com. That's RITERUG.com today to schedule a free in-home estimate or to find a location near you. 24-month financing is available with approved credit. For 90 years, we've been right here, right now. Right Rug Flooring.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.